1 Thessalonians chapter 2 to start. Today is Sunday, May the 3rd. We're going to look some more this morning in God's Word concerning healing. And I wanted to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That's a powerful statement. The word of God works effectually in those that believe. That's what God said about His Word. He's pretty confident about His Word, isn't he? It works effectually in those that believe. And hopefully this morning we're going to gain a little more insight into believing God to receive healing. And I think a lot of this stuff that I'm sharing would apply to receiving other things as well, but we're going to specifically focus on healing. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 is a wonderful record that is mind-blowing, astounding, oh my gosh. Acts chapter 5, the Word of God was growing, moving, and in Acts chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Isn't that amazing? There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Isn't that amazing? Look at the expectation those people had. That maybe Peter might walk by in his shadow. Let's set him right here. Let's get here. I want to be over there. The shadow of Peter might come by. Look at the expectation these people had. Maybe we could get better at having less acceptance of the situation and more acceptance and expectation of God's deliverance. I think most of you know the words that are translated in the King James words faith and believe come from the same Greek word group, the Greek words pistuo and pistis. The basic meaning is to believe or to accept. And it's used in the Bible of either acceptance of someone or acceptance of information and instructions. So when I said less acceptance of the situation, I was referring to less accepting a sickness, like that's the way it is, and instead having acceptance and lots more expectation of God's healing, because healing from God is available and healing is always God's will for us. Now let's look at two very contrasting records. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 5 of Matthew 8. Everybody there? And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, I think I mentioned this last week, but we didn't read it. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. He was in pretty bad shape. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What did this guy believe? Well, look what he said. Verse 9 says, "For I'm a man under authority." I understand what authority is about. "Having soldiers under me, I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." I understand authority. Just say the word. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, so great believing, no, not in Israel." And go down to verse 13. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour." Isn't that a great record? It's very clear the centurion accepted or believed that Jesus Christ had the power and the authority to heal. Now, on the other hand, the context in Matthew 13 shows they did not accept or believe regarding Jesus Christ. So go to Matthew 13, and we see something different, totally different, in terms of accepting Jesus Christ's power and authority to heal. In Matthew 13, towards the end of Matthew 13, all the way to verse 54, it's speaking of Jesus Christ. We're in Matthew 13, 54. "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue." What a blessing. Jesus Christ came to his hometown, went into the synagogue, did a teaching. Everybody would have been, should have been, "Wow, this is great. Thanks for coming back home, Jesus. Thanks for sharing God's word with us." "When he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? This is Joe's kid. Was he doing teaching? His mother's called Mary. We know Joseph, we know Mary. And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And his sisters, we know the whole family. Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except save in his own country and in his own house." That's still true today. And then verse 58 says, "He," Jesus Christ, "did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." You know, obviously Jesus Christ had the power to bring about healing, and he healed many, many, many people. But not there. "He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief." I mentioned last week that it takes believing from both the one who knows he has the power of God and believes information and instruction from God, and then it also takes believing from the one receiving healing. And in this case, Jesus Christ was there, had the power of God to heal, and they were like, "I don't think so. This is Joe's kid. What's he doing here?" Sometimes you'll see records in the Bible, like with the centurion, and other times with parents, where they were the ones who believed on behalf of those who couldn't believe. So we see just from those records, we could read more, but we see from those records that people received healing from believing. So that's nothing new, we know that. What is it then that interferes with our believing or our accepting healing that we know is available? What is it that interferes with that? Go to Luke chapter 8. We'll get some more insight. And maybe these records and verses are familiar, but it's good to just look at them and review them in light of gaining a little more insight on believing to receive healing. Luke chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Luke 8:41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. That's a pretty tough situation, isn't it? Having a 12-year-old child that's dying. But as he went, so Jesus says, on his way to Jairus' house to heal this girl. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude is thronging you and press thee, and you're saying, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me. Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, your believing, has made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, so he's talking to this woman, great is your believing, go in peace. While he's saying that, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, to Jairus, your daughter's dead, she died. Trouble not the master. Don't even bother him anymore. She died. Jairus, at that moment, could have accepted that. Too late. Should have gone before. Should have got here sooner. If this woman hadn't interrupted, maybe he could have gotten there. I don't know. He could have, right? Could have done a lot of things. But, verse 50. When Jesus heard it, so somebody came while he was talking to this lady, and while Jesus heard it over here, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe what? Accept what? That she will be made whole. In other words, don't get talked out of it. Where was his believing or accepting prior to somebody coming and saying she died? He went to Jesus and said, my daughter's dying. Will you come heal her? Okay, they're on their way to the house. That's where he was at. Now, don't get talked out of it. Sometimes we do. We get talked out of things. But don't. Let's keep reading the record there. Verse 51, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And so when he gets to the house, all wept and bewailed her. Everybody's crying. Why? Because she died. But he said, weep not. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. What did they accept? She's dead. I'll bet somebody in that house knew that Jairus was going to get Jesus to come to heal her. It's done. It's over. That's what they accepted. They laughed him to scorn, knowing she was dead. He put them all out. Everybody out. Everybody get out. He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. He said that to a dead girl. Arise. Her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So in this record, Jesus Christ really clearly shows us that the opposite of believing is fear. It's the opposite of believing. Fear not, believe only. Okay. Also, Jesus Christ, in teaching about believing, said in Matthew 11, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Doubting is opposite of believing. In Matthew 21, he said, if you have faith, if you have believing, and doubt not. Fear and doubt are the opposite of believing God. They are the enemies of believing. Now, when it comes to this, we should never be critical of ourselves, condemn ourselves, nor should we be critical and condemn others. Every situation is different. Everybody's body is different, and everybody's thinking is different. The great enemies of believing are fear and doubt. Now, if there is some doubt or fear rooted somewhere, whether we recognize it or not, how do we get it out? How do we get rid of it? There is one thing we can control in this life, our own thinking. We can decide what we want to think about, right? We could all picture in our mind the biggest ice cream cone you've ever seen. It's as big as this room. We could think that if we wanted to, right? We could all be sitting here thinking of different things. We could think about the beach, and the ocean, or, you know, we're in control of our own thinking. That's one thing we can control. And God has told us in His Word, as He thinks in His heart, so is He. God has also told us, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your own heart, out of it are the issues of life. Your life, my life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We are in control of our thinking. And I mentioned this last week, the words that come out of our mouth. Call it whatever you want. Call it self-talk. Call it chatter. That verse in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What am I saying about the situation? It's really something that God puts that stuff in there. And, you know, that's why last week I mentioned that there may be situations that come up in our lives where we need to take the time to pour God's Word into our hearts and minds. And when it comes to healing, you know, asking questions like, why is this happening to me? Why have I not received healing? Why can I not believe? Why? None of that helps. None of that does any good for us. Well, I thought I was believing. What the heck? None of that helps. What I need to remember is that God said, by His stripes I'm healed. Fear and doubt interfere with our believing, whether we recognize that we have it or not. And, you know, sometimes when it comes to healing, the healing is taking place. I know we'd all love to see instantaneous, miraculous healing, and we should expect that. Why not? It's all over the Bible. Just these few records that we read, boom, boom. We should expect that. But there are times when there's some restoration going on, and we are getting better, we are getting stronger, and so we should not get talked out of it. Why am I not completely healed? That's the wrong question, because that can stir up doubts and fear and even condemnation. We don't need that. As He thinks in His heart, so is He. There may be fears or doubts that we don't recognize. They may be somewhere. But what I do know is there's an abundance of God's Word that we can flood our minds with. That we can do, right? And it's not a magic wand. It's not mind over matter. It's not being in denial. My arm is not broken. By his stripes I was healed. My arm, yes, it is. It's broken. If it's broken. Yes, it is. We're not denying that, but I'm not accepting that I'm going to go through the rest of my life with a broken arm, because that's the way it is. I broke it. It's not living in denial. Rather, it's accepting and expecting what God's word says more than accepting the situation where it is right now. Does that make sense? And we really have to watch condemnation. I guess I just don't know how to believe. Thought I did, but I don't. And that helps how?
Not at all.
Not at all. Doesn't help us a bit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. A couple more. It's so great that we could read those verses where Jesus Christ talked about fear not, only believe. Okay, that's the opposite. Don't doubt in your heart. Oh, okay, that's fear and doubt. Okay, that's what's interfering with believing. In 2 Corinthians 10, 5, it says, casting down imaginations, thinking. That would include condemnation. That would include, well, why is it? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why I mentioned last week Dan's website, you know, with that tab he has on there that has just dozens of verses on healing. Might need to just pour those in and just keep pouring them in. That's why I mentioned this book by David Berge, 100 Scriptures to Help You Recover Your Health. Just really a great book. I brought a new one out because mine's all beat up from using it. In this book, he's really helped many people, shows how to get God's word into their heart like he did after a devastating diagnosis. Getting God's word in our hearts to the point at arriving at believing and receiving. And again, let's not be critical of anyone, including ourselves. You know, we don't know the battle someone else is going through. We don't know a lot of things. But we can just love people, can't we? We can love people. We can be kind. We can have compassion. So let's not be critical of others. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace. Anybody interested in grace and peace? Or I've never met anyone that said, "Look, I've had too much grace and peace. I just can't handle anymore. I don't need any more grace and peace. I'm full." Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That's how it's multiplied, not added, multiplied. Grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And I think we know where we would get that knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. From his word. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Again, it's through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace. Life and godliness. Well, life would include our physical bodies, wouldn't it? We're alive. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of God from his word. Romans 10 says, faith or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God bless you. So then, faith or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Never underestimate the power of the written word of God. And look at Hebrews 4, I'll show you this. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, I was mentioning just a few minutes ago that there may be fear or doubt somewhere that we're not even aware of, that we don't recognize. So I think it's a waste of time to try to figure out, where is the doubt? Where is the fear? Just pour the word in. Pour the word in. The word will flush it out. And I think this verse kind of indicates that. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, meaning alive. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Never underestimate the power of this book we call God's Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and this wonderful Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Whose heart? Our hearts, right. Yeah, yours, mine. In the Working Translation, Reverend Cummins translates it this way. Certainly, the Word of God is living and powerfully active and sharper than every double-edged sword, even penetrating to the dividing between soul and spirit, and also between joints and marrow, and it is able to judge between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's why pouring God's word in, we have to try to figure out, well, where is my doubt? What is my doubt? Why am I doubting? I didn't think I was doubting. I thought I was believing. Where's the fear? Where, all these questions that do nothing, they don't help. What helps is the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than every two-edged sword, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. Putting the Word of God in our hearts will, whatever phrase you want to use, negate, flush out, root out. It'll get rid of the fears and the doubts, which are the enemies of believing. Let's close in 1 Thessalonians 2, where we started. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Does this make sense this morning? Is that helpful? And it's something we're all growing. Nobody's got it down perfectly yet. So we're all growing. And as I mentioned before, this is applicable to anything we're dealing with, not just healing. But I think we'd all like to get a little bit better at seeing healing in our own lives and ministering healing to others. Start seeing. I mean, we saw that verse in Acts. That was some pretty powerful times, wasn't it? The shadow of Peter. Oh, my goodness. Well, God hadn't changed. He's still very much in favor of healing. And we close in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, where we started. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Doesn't say it works effectually in you that pray more than anybody else. You that believe, accepting it as true. By Jesus Christ's stripes, we were healed. Absolutely true. Accepting what God's word says. Before I pray, I'm going to play a song.
Be not afraid, only believe. What God has promised, you can receive. His word is faithful, trust Him and see. Be not afraid, bring a snare, it holds a man down. But the word of God is a solid rock, you can stand on solid ground. His word is tried and tested, pure like silver refined. In a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. So be not afraid, only believe. What God has promised, you can receive. His word is faithful, trust Him and see. Be not afraid, was teaching nigh unto the sea, when a man named Jairus came to him and besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lay dying, please come heal her that she may live. Now Jesus always walked with God, so he went with that man. And as they passed along, people came to Jairus and said, why trouble the master any further when your daughter is dead? Then Jesus spoke to Jairus. This is what he said. Be not afraid, only believe. What God has promised, you can receive. His word is faithful, trust Him and see. Be not afraid, oh. When they came to the house, they found the people weeping for the girl. Jesus said, why do you weep? She's only sleeping. And then they laughed at Him, saying she was dead. But He took her by the hand and said, child, arise.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for all Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Thank you that we belong to you. And Father, we're a day closer to when you send Jesus Christ back to come and get us. Until then, Father, may we do our best to believe what you have written to us and accept your graciousness, your kindness, your healing. I pray for everyone here in this room, Father, and in the name of Jesus Christ, bring to them all that they need. And for those on the hookup, please bless them as well in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of sharing a little bit of your word this morning. And Father, may we just walk forth knowing that we are who you say we are and that we can have what you said we can have because of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And it's in His name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.